Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the exploration of consciousness and who we are as a new civilization, a new race of beings that are emerging with a spiritual understanding of who we really are, who we are beyond this physical body. I mean, being a physical body is very much a part of the human being, but so are many other levels of reality. And that's why I call the program New Realities, because the whole of the human race is emerging into a higher thought, a higher sense of ourselves, a higher being. And part of what is so necessary in this evolution is to take into account the ancient way. People have developed ideas of who the human being when they still felt connected to the spirit. So tonight's program is about the ancient Hawaiian healing technique of Ho'oponopono. And my guest is Robert Ray. Robert, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure to be with you on New Realities.
Yes. Well, did that opening make sense to where you're coming from as one of the holders of this ancient healing technique?
Spot on, Alan. Spot on. Absolutely. We are in a new reality. We are in a new era. Many new concepts are coming to us at light speed. And Ho'oponopono is one of the core concepts at the very base or at the very root from which we can build into this new reality.
So let's go into it. Ho'oponopono is a kahuna, which are the shamans of the ancient Hawaiians, and they use this as a very deep healing modality. And, you know, people, I just want to just preface that with the idea that in our culture, and we think everything is psychological. We've created a psychological paradigm for how we look at each other and the world, and that is a fabrication of sorts. It's true on one level, but psychology does not doesn't cover all of what we know as relationships to each other and the unseen and the mysteries of nature. So with that, please give us your understanding of this healing technique.
Well, okay. First of all, Ho'oponopono predates Buddhism in its earliest rudimentary fashion. And it has transformed quite a bit, but today's version of Ho'oponopono is the shortest, easiest, most effective tool to clean up our reality, to remove obstacles from our lives, to change the problems that we face on a daily basis, to make life smoother, more joy-filled, to open our minds so we can hear the voice of the divine consciousness that resides within. We use four statements at the core of Ho'oponopono, and we are speaking to our higher self only. We make no apology to anyone else or anything else. And that four-statement mantra is at the very core of our being. I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me, and thank you. The unique thing about these four statements is that you do not have to believe in them for them to work for you. The higher self hears those words and makes the changes accordingly. Now, way back in history, there was a noted philosopher, and his name was Carl Jung, and I'm sure most of your listeners have heard of Carl Jung.
Yes.
Carl Jung spoke and wrote extensively about a concept of a shadow personality. That shadow personality is within each of us. We originate with the subconscious thought, and it manifests as reality. This is a process that begins in the birth canal, and it does not end until we pass on and move to our next phase of life. With Ho'oponopono, what we're doing is we're cleaning on our memories. We're removing the impressions and the feelings attached to them. And when we do that, we hit 0 point. And 0 point is very similar to the state in which a baby comes into the world. And we all know how magnetic a baby is.
Let me just understand what you're saying here. Okay, we're in some kind of situation, and let's say we're angry at somebody, for they did something to us, and we use this technique of just these four statements, and we direct that at somebody or at ourselves, or, I mean, how does it actually work?
Okay. I'm at a sales counter in a department store, and I have a sales associate taking care of me who has no time for me, doesn't like anything about me, doesn't want to be bothered. Their mind is somewhere else. I'm having a difficult time communicating within myself, within my mind, and only to me. I say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And I repeat the statement over and over until I feel an energy shift within me. As that energy shifts within me, their bad behavior ceases. So I affect a change in my reality from my work within. I am only saying those statements to myself. I do not utter them to anyone else, nor are they directed to anyone else. They're strictly personal.
Saying, I love you, meaning you love yourself. What do you say? I'm sorry, meaning I'm sorry that you feel this way. Please forgive me. I mean, what's the intention? I know you're saying you don't have to even mean it, but what is it that you are feeling when you're saying those statements?
First of all, I'm loving myself and only myself because I am the originator of all that I project. Number two, I am sorry for projecting an errant reality. I do not understand how I projected it. But I apologize to my higher self for this projection. I ask for forgiveness from myself. And then as I do that, I know it's been granted. So I say thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And thank you. And it's done. I'll give you a for instance about a young girl in New Jersey that we worked on as a group last night. She is my partner's sister. And she suffers with a number of pretty difficult health problems. She has lymphedema, swelling of the legs. She has a bad valve in her heart. So we looked at her situation, called her to mind, assuming that since she is in our reality, we projected her to be ill. We looked at that, and we apologized, and we used our mantras. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. Just moments ago, my partner had a phone conversation with his sister, and she had the most incredible health day in a long time. So within 24 hours, she had a physical improvement based on us clearing up our inner reality.
Now, how do you explain that in our world? In how would you attempt to explain? Okay, I understand you're doing it with yourself. I understand that. And, of course, I know about that type of healing. But how would you explain that to someone who maybe didn't have an idea about this kind of stuff?
Simply put, everything in our world, everyone we know, everything we experience, from the weather to our work coworkers to our family and friends, everything is a projection of our inner mind. Absolutely everything we experience.
Right, but that person is, you're a projection of her inner mind. So how does your inner mind affect her inner mind? Or are you only affecting your inner mind and she being a reflection of your inner mind, but she is who she is without you as well, or is that not true?
She is exactly the person that my inner mind has created in my experience. Mm-hmm. So in my reality, my partner's sister is ill. She's ill because of a projection from my inner mind. As I clear her illness within my subconscious mind, with my four statements, the person that I project has a healing. They improve.
But is she ill within her mind, or is there not any way of knowing if there is her reality, because it's all seen from our reality? So you know what I'm asking? Does she have her own reality?
Yeah, what you're asking. What you're asking is a common question with teaching of this practice. She is in my reality, so she is my projection. Totally.
And her reality, does it exist at all separate unto you?
Her reality doesn't come into play at all. If she is in my reality, then she is a projection from within me. So I clean on my projection, and she results with an improvement in her health.
So there is no her about, but there is a world out there. There is a reality that interacts or intersects with our, yes, it's all us, but there's an interface, it seems, of reality. Is that true?
Each and every person that we know is a real person. We do not discount that. Each and every person has their own perspective and reality. And there are multiple realities all taking place at the same time. So we work within our reality. In my reality, my partner's sister today is healthy. In another universe, in another reality, she might be a physician, married with children. She could be a homeless person in yet another reality. But in the reality of my world, the world that you're existing in right now, she is a projection from within me. So I control the circumstances of her life with my subconscious projection. And this is what Carl Jung spoke about in the shadow personality.
Do we ever interact with a world? Is there ever a world? I guess you're saying there isn't any world outside of us, but there seems to be. There is. Seems to be. Things come in, even dream states, even the kind of doorway into whatever the Hawaiians call the unknown. You know, there's this open-ended source that is feeding our consciousness, is enlivening us, and information is flowing to us.
Absolutely. Alan, this is the constant challenge. But with the practice of Ho'oponopono, as we clear and clean experiences within our life and memories, we start to open up and we start to understand the truth about reality. We understand how multiple realities exist. And actually, it's a doorway that I believe is going to lead us into the fourth dimension.
Mm-hmm. In what way? Can you go into that a little more? Please explain.
Yeah. As we clear and clean on memories, we create space. That space is what I refer to in my book as returning to that zero point that we experience at birth. Empty, nada. That is the thing that the Buddhist monk tries to achieve in their entire life of meditation. As we reach closer and closer to that zero point, we start to experience psychic power. We start to experience mediumship power. We start to experience knowledge and wisdom that come from our guides, angels, so on and so on. A whole mystical world opens to us, and with that opening of that world comes the understanding of how we're working is affecting us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This technique got very popular with the guy on the internet, Dr. Lu, what was his name?
Ayaliakala Hulen, PhD. He is a psychologist.
And he said he did this technique with while working in a hospital with the criminally insane, and he would just take out their files and just say these four techniques, and people would have these amazing healings. Is this true? Is this something that you've also heard?
Yeah, actually, this was my beginning with Ho'oponopono. I had been in a conversation with a friend of mine on the West Coast, and he was leaving to join a class in a Hawaiian healing technique. So when I terminated my conversation, I Googled Hawaiian healing techniques, and I came up with Huna, and I came up with Ho'oponopono. I clicked on Ho'oponopono. I read the story of Dr. Hugh Len. He took a job with the Hawaiian State Mental Hospital after they approached him. He told them he needed two things. He needed a door on his office, and he wanted only to do chart review. And they said, Doc, how are you going to help these patients if all you do is chart review? He said, well, how did any of my predecessors help these patients? They're criminally insane. No changes are going to happen. He said, so give me a shot. I'll try it out. If in a couple of months you don't like my work, I'll leave. Within 2 months, the painters came into the ward. It was the first time in the existence of the ward that the patients didn't have to be shackled and medicated for somebody to come in. They were already peaceful enough for painters to enter. Within 2 years, the ward was closed down because those patients were repatriated with society in some form or another. Healthy, normal people. Some of them are still in mental hospitals, and many of them are out on the streets, functioning members of society. Well, I didn't trust the story.
It's truly a miracle, isn't it?
It is a miracle. It's a miracle by our standards, in our understanding of what reality is. We would call it that. But now, in my world of Ho'oponopono, these things are commonplace.
But getting back to this guy, Lynn, he would look at the chart, and he would just say these four statements that you said. I love you, I'm sorry. What is it? I love you, I'm sorry.
Please forgive me and thank you.
Please forgive me.
He would look at the chart. He would read the diagnosis. He would read the nurse's notes. And he would ask himself an important question. What could I have done to have created this sickly person in my reality? I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And he would work on each one individually, and each day there would be a little more change. And I see it all the time because I work with private people. I've pulled people back from the brink of suicide, and I've changed severe, deep depression within a matter of 2 weeks. It's absolutely a miraculous practice.
That first statement was, what could I have done to have, as if he was this person, or what did I do to create this person as being so mentally ill? That was the question he asked himself?
That's correct.
And what kind of answers?
He experienced these people in his reality.
Right. So what kind of answers would he give himself? What could he have done to have created this person? What like negative thing he could have thought? Is that what you're saying?
All it is a tape of chaotic data running in the background. 95% of the subconscious mind is not conscious thought at any point in time. It's a supplanted memory. It could be fractioned from a book we read, a movie that we saw, something that's frightened us in our life. It's created a system of memories. They become anchored by peptide chains. They are highly excitable. And every time we experience a heart-stopping moment in our reality as a result of this, we get our cheese, Alan. We get endorphins. So we keep playing those tapes over and over to get more and more endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
It's far easier to remove them from memory with the four statements, clean on them, create that zero point, and enjoy a peaceful life. So he looked upon those patients and said, I've created them, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And as he did his mantra, they improved.
That, this is just so, I mean, I've heard about it, I've even done it, but as you're saying it, it's so simple and so profoundly transformative. I mean, it's the simplest thing in the world to do. That
the key point that I stress here is not to worry about looking for the answers of why we created it. Just clean on the situation like your life depends on it, because literally it does.
So clean on the situation. You can use it, of course, on inanimate objects. You can use it on situations in your life, right? Like, let's say you're wanting more money, or you're wanting a better job, or you can do it in those situations too, right?
Absolutely. With our ideas of abundance, we have many blocks. I'm not worthy. Money is dirty. Money is evil. It's the root of all evil. And to all those statements, I say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I want them clean. I want those concepts gone from mind.
The idea of cleaning is also something that a guy in Hawaii talked about. And and you do these statements, and I've done it, actually. Actually, I'll tell you a story. I found, when I first heard about it, I found this. I was walking on the streets of New York, and I found this beautiful old pot, but it was nice, and it was on the street, this little cooking pot. And I wanted to use it, but I felt it wasn't clean. And so, because it was from the streets and all that. And so I did this technique on this inanimate object, and I could feel how it wasn't clean until I did this a number of times. And then the energy, whatever that was, sort of lifted or shifted, and I could sense that suddenly it was clean. Do you get that feeling too sometimes?
Absolutely, and this is another important concept to teach. In the Hawaiian culture, it is commonplace for them to look at everything created by the hand of humanity as being a living object that has a memory. So as you saw a pot that may have been an apartment that was filled with a lot of negativity, you cleaned on that negativity without realizing what you were doing, and you felt the shift of energy in that pot.
I did.
A couple of weeks ago, I had a bad thermostat in my house in Florida. Well, this isn't the time of year to not have air conditioning in Florida. So I looked at my thermostat, I placed my hand on it, and I used my cleaning statements, and my thermostat works. It fixed it.
So this
through an air conditioning repairman and an electrician. I changed circuits. I had wires stripped and reattached. Nothing was fixed. I used my statements, and it fixed it.
Amazing. Just amazing. I mean, truly, truly. I mean, what is it? What was the thing that got you? I mean, I'm sure you were a pretty regular and normal guy going about your business. And what was the moment that you said, I think there's something here to this?
I'll tell you what attracted me to it. I realized that with this system, I had no excuse in any manner, way, or form to remain in victim space. It empowered me to take control, to change my reality so I could play out my role as co-creator, not victim.
So what was the first thing that you shifted in reality for yourself?
I think in my own personal relationship with my partner. Mm-hmm. The first thing I wanted to do was make my home life sweeter and happier. There's always room. You know, two adults living together, no matter how many years, and we've been together for quite a few, there's always something to clean on. We cleaned. the two of us cleaned, and the sweeter it got. People on the outside noticed the difference.
So it's basically this easy. I mean, I know you've written a book, and what was the name of that book? What's the name of the book?
Return to Zero Point.
Right. But there's really, I mean, it's really this simple, isn't it? I mean, it's really not a lot of drama or complicated ideas. It's really just do the work, or is there more to it that you get into in your workshops, in your lectures?
In the workshops, the greatest challenge that we have is getting people to understand that they don't have to analyze, they only have to clean. I'm going to tell you a very revealing story about myself. I was molested at the age of 5. I became dissociative as a result of that molestation. It was more than my 5-year-old mind could handle. When I was made aware of this through therapy many years later, the most natural reaction I would have to that is anger. As my subconscious mind plays these tapes, it creates a lot of chaos in my reality, especially when it comes to the area of relationships. So as I have cleaned upon this, I removed that dissociative behavior, found my inner peace, and now I have only to turn around and literally appreciate this event in my life, because through it I've learned so much that I can use to teach others. So if we can use it for something that deep and that serious, we can use it for the lighter things in life too. But the one thing we have to understand is that we want to go through our mind on all our difficult moments, the loss of loved ones, moments of failure, moments of self-judgment, and with each and every one of those memories, clean and clear and clean and clear with those four statements. Because as we clean and we clear, life gets sweeter every day. We don't have to analyze. We only have to do.
Can you talk a little bit about the levels in the Hawaiian system of the higher self, the Unapili, those levels, the higher, the lower, and the middle selves? I know that's a little bit beyond just the simple practice, but it gives a bit of a perspective on the whole system and where it comes from, and then you've been talking about a little bit the subconscious energies that direct us.
Okay, I'm going to give you the four areas of consciousness that we deal with in Ho'oponopono, and I will refer to them in English, and I will refer to them in Polynesian. Number one is the conscious self, and that's Uhane. It remembers. The subconscious, Unapili, interprets and it transmits, and it wills. The superconscious self, or Amakua, imagines. And that superconscious self, I like to imagine as the human spirit. And then there is the divine consciousness, Kane. It is the source of all inspiration. That divine consciousness would be referred to in Christianity as God, or in Judaism. It would be referred to as God. And the one thing we have in Scripture that I can recall to mind is the words of Jesus when he spoke, "The kingdom of heaven is within." That's where heaven resides, and that's where God resides, within us. So it's the divine consciousness, Kane, the superconscious self, Amakua, the conscious self, Uhane, and the subconscious mind, Unapili.
Okay. Now, the subconscious mind is what you also referred to, what you said Jung referred to as the shadows, where it collects all the junk and the garbage that we pick up in our environment. And
exactly.
And creates the reality, because we are so controlled by the unknown parts, or are so out of control of our conscious mind that the unconscious mind manipulates the reality in front of us until we decide to take control.
Absolutely.
So then this is a technique of truly, like you said, co-creating our reality. And then was this all the Hawaiians taught? I mean, have you gone into other aspects of Hawaiian shamanism, or was this the core of their traditional healing?
I have not gone into other areas of shamanism. I've had no interest in them. Understand that my background was the Catholic priesthood, and that is something I don't participate in anymore. I am much more metaphysical than anybody I know in the priesthood. but shamanism, I have friends that are shaman and practice shamanism, but I have not studied, I have not practiced. This is my mandate. This is my area. It's Ho'oponopono.
So what's your work now? You go around the country and you simply give lectures on this type of thing?
Absolutely. And I just enjoyed this within the last year, so it's just kicking up. It's beginning, and it's beginning with a fast and furious appetite. And this is what I do now. I spend my days looking for more places to host the overflow of people. My classes are booked up 3 weeks in advance.
Mm-hmm. But it's the same people coming back, or... Because once
no.
you got it, you got
yeah,
it, don't you?
Once you have it, you have it. Once you have
then
it,
you
go on.
It.
It's just your time to practice it. I get new people all the time.
And where are you based out of now, in Florida somewhere?
Fort Lauderdale.
You're in Fort Lauderdale, and every week you have a class there. You want to give some information about how people can contact you?
Yes, we have a meetup site in Florida, and that is Ho'oponopono, H-O, apostrophe, O-P-O-N-O-P-O-N-O, dash, return to 0 point. So we can be found on Meetup. I will give my email address if people would like other information from me. It's Robert F. Ray, R-A-Y, at me, M-E, dot com. And... Alan, believe me, I haven't even had time to sit with the designers to get the website up yet. My world is spinning so fast with this that I haven't had time to get much accomplished. I have my second book ready to go out. It's going to be published by Hay House. Mm-hmm. And I have all to do to get the edits done.
Well, it's important work. It should be out there. I mean, I'm just thinking back. The first time I heard about this was in the 80s. And there was a woman named Morna, was it? Who
yes,
some student,
Morna Simeone.
Morna Simeone. And it was this thick, thick book and all these long prayers that we'd have to do over and over again. And,
yeah, we don't have to do that anymore.
Who
I
devised...
I have in my book, I use an yeah. opening statement where we actually have a talk with our ego. And we ask our ego... to allow this work to go on without challenge, as it'll make for a better existence. And the ego complies. It makes it very simple. And the work proceeds. It proceeds without a lot of the questions and resistance. Understand that there will be a natural tendency to resist this type of work. And all it requires is the four statements to clean on it, and the resistance breaks down.
I'm just interested in the history, because in the 80s it was this huge bookland. Who really cleaned it up to make it so simple? I'm just curious about that.
I think that Morna Simeone really did a lot to clean it up, because prior to her, the practice of Ho'oponopono was used strictly for family discord, and the kahuna would come in, and the practice would be an entire day of talking,
uh-huh.
airing the problem, reaching a resolve, making an agreement, and agreeing upon a reparation, and then a meal would be served at the end of it all. and all of the family and all of the community would resolve to see to it that the reparation was met. It's nowhere near anything like that now.
So is this, I mean, we're just speculating, but I'm just speculating, could this be because everything's accelerating at this point? It's time for all the old traditions to be resolved, to become public, to be functional in a way that all of humanity can access these ancient knowledge? I mean, would you say, would you hypothesize something like that?
Absolutely, without a doubt. We all know that change is underway. On October 28th of 2011, the Mayan calendar came to an end. That end was not the end that Hollywood wrote. That end was the end of the former era, entering the final era of human genetic change and societal change. A new awareness would come upon us. Well, it's coming upon us very quickly. People are reaching out in ways that they've never reached out before. I'm fascinated when I see the amount of hope in people today. We're changing our world incredibly rapid pace. Change is coming. It's inevitable. It's going to happen whether we enjoy it or not. But being on the top of the movement is a lot sweeter than being at the bottom of it.
Well, of course, it's all your reality, so that's part of it, right? It's as you... clean.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then all of us clean.
But
our reality.
All of your listeners are part of my reality. So we share in that reality together.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think in this reality that you're creating, I'm creating, this transition will look like? What will the planet look like? Or what's your vision of the possibility of what it could look like within a year or 5 years or 10 years?
I think we're going to see a system of justice that becomes far more fair. I think we're going to see a system of cooperation between people and nations that we've never experienced throughout the history of humanity. I think that we'll see religions change tremendously. I think we'll see wars end. And if there is, in fact, an ascension, in 10 years we'll be there.
If there's an ascension, you're saying?
Yes.
What does that mean to you, ascension? How do you define it?
Actually achieving the mindset of the fourth dimension, of the next dimension.
Can you define that a little more, what the fourth dimension? Because I'm actually calling that the fifth dimension. People call it the fourth dimension. I'd say to people, we don't live in the third dimension. Our bodies are third dimensional, but our minds are where we live. Our mental, emotional body is the fourth dimensional reality where we're moving into. This is just my definition, is a fifth-dimensional awareness where we transcend the dramas of the human field, the human interaction. We ascend to the level where we are functioning at a higher level of feeling, less drama, more love, more psychic, intuitive, empathic communications with each other. That's how I define the next level of reality. And
well, I tell you, you put it a lot more sweetly than I put it. But please remember, my background is the priesthood, so I haven't had a whole lot of time to study all these concepts.
I do
say this. I see people changing and becoming more and more psychic. I believe that psychic power is an innate gift. I believe it's an innate gift in all people. Some people become more psychic than others. Some people practice it more than others.
Yeah.
There's actually a system of practice to sharpen psychic ability. Everybody doesn't enjoy it. A mother always experiences psychic gifts with her child.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of parenting.
Yeah.
And then we switch it off. Well, we're learning again how to switch it on And I think as we enter this new dimension, we'll have only to think of a structure, and it will be created in light speed. I think that life is going to be very different. I think human DNA is going to change.
I was just going to say, I think a big part of this next dimension is this feeling that I sense from you, this beautiful feeling of love and loving the world, loving our creation. And of course, this is the big part of that really is healing. When you love something, you send out the healing energy and somehow it changes. That's what I'm feeling and experiencing myself.
Well, it's, again, you're spot on there. It is all about love, self-love and love of one another, love and respect. And that's such a different experience from our rat race world. Most people look at their shortcomings and rarely applaud themselves for their accomplishments. People tend to measure their growth by how they champion their worst traits and get beyond them. To try and navigate this world through conscious mind is laborious and it's exhausting and it's incomplete. As we clean and create that space and get closer and closer to zero point, our communication with higher self and that divine consciousness within increases, it widens, we download information quicker, and we experience an inspiration that's flawless. And that's the goal, inspiration.
Now, would this be something you would want to teach to elementary school kids?
Fabulous, Alan. Because children are cleaner than we are as adults. Naturally. And if they learn this skill at their young age, their life will be so much easier. They will not suffer through the difficulties that we all had to suffer through. There will be no bullying because they'll melt it down before they hit the situation.
So have you been to elementary schools and attempted to teach children something like this?
Haven't done it yet. It's on the agenda. It's a big part of what I look forward to doing. My next step is I'm going to be working closely with some kids who were knocked out of the system at the age of 18 when they were in homes taken in for income. They weren't adopted. I'm searching for the word. I can't think of it.
Right. Okay.
When they age out of the system at the age of 18...
In the foster care system. Yeah.
The foster care, right. When the foster care system in the state stops paying money to the foster family, when that child hits 18, they're oftentimes pushed out on the street. This is one thing that as Americans we don't know much about, the pay for foster care system. It's not a nice practice. These kids at age 18 are still children. They don't know how to function. So we're going in to work with these children to teach them how to change their reality. And this is going to teach us how to better teach kids. We have to step into the situation a step at a time. But children is our goal.
Wait, so how are you going to work with these kids? What's your plan? How are you going to reach them and work with them?
Well, first in a group format. And we're going to teach them how they melt down problems. Rather than externalize anger, they can internalize their four statements to change their reality and make their problems begin to disappear.
So some kid is living on the street. He's angry. He's upset. You say, do these four statements. And have you done this? And what have you seen?
Well, I've seen rapid changes in people. I've seen very rapid changes in their lives. I have taught some adolescents before. with these children, the first group that we're going to be working with, are getting their primer now. Ho'oponopono hasn't begun yet. They're getting their primer, but they are in a system where they're given housing. They are in a controlled situation, but they've already stepped through extreme trauma, homelessness. So we have to go in after they get their sea legs, so to speak, and then we'll go in and start cleaning up on that homeless situation, removing that from their impressions and feelings with those four statements, and we'll start taking away the trauma that caused them to go into the foster care system in the first place. When we work
on how are you are you working with the state? How are you doing this? How are you working? What kind of organizations are you working with? I'm just curious.
It's an organization here in Fort Lauderdale called Homes, Inc., H-O-M-E-S, Inc., and they are a 501c3 charity that has bought up an entire city block, and multiple dwelling units have been remodeled within that area, and the kids are now in these apartments. They're taught how to work in the thrift store, how to begin enjoying a life of employment. They're encouraged to go to school. And they can stay in this property until they hit the age of 23. And at the age of 23, they have to move on.
What do they do? Okay, well, anyway, you're teaching them to clean up their reality in this time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Within a year, we'll have completed their entire our entire objective with them. We're going to go slow with them, because we want them to learn how to integrate this and begin to initiate work on their own without having to have constant supervision to do this.
Right. Well, it's a very, very exciting that you've gotten the opportunity to at least go into a situation where people desperately need this kind of understanding about the control of their reality. Because
oh, yeah.
I'm curious about the results. I mean, it should be documented somehow what happens to those kids in this process of their transformation. It would be very
I suggest maybe we can stay in touch. I have your email address, and if you would like at a later date as this work is progressing, I'll come back on and give you some updates.
Yeah, or even come on and do the television show as well. You know,
I would love it. Anything to get to New York.
Are you not planning on being in New York at all?
I always plan on being in New York. I love to come to New York.
All right. Well, when you come, maybe we could do an evening with you. We'll go to the studio. We'll do a television interview. And the more this is out there, the more it will evolve consciousness in everyone,
I just want to see my fellow human beings enjoy a sweeter life. I've come to know it, and I want the same for you and all your listeners. I want us to have an easier life with a brighter tomorrow.
So let's just review the keys, those four statements again, because I don't think you could say them enough, right?
Never. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And thank you.
And this is anything, any person, events, past situation, relations, anything at all. These are they're not exactly magic words, but they're words that go to the core, the source of our being, that starts to unfold a new reality for us. It really, really does.
Absolutely. One of the things I teach in my class, Alan, is that yesterday is an illusion. Tomorrow is unthinkable. All we ever had was the moment. In this moment, I can clean on events that I perceive were in my past, and I can make my tomorrow brighter. I can clean on events that I'm currently experiencing right now, and I can make this moment sweeter. It all plays out exactly the way it's supposed to. The universe is an organized structure. The only thing that's unorganized in that structure is our understanding of it. But as we clear and as we clean with those four statements, we begin to understand the order better and better.
Did you ever work on world events, war in the Middle East, revolutions around the world? How does that work with you?
Okay. Understand that everybody in my reality throughout the world holds and supports the concept of a reality that includes a war in Afghanistan. I don't know what the breakpoint would be to get people to help me clean on it, but we cleaned on it last night. I had a small group in my home, and we don't let a minute go by. Every chance we have, we attempt to clean in some fashion. And we clean on the war in Afghanistan. We clean on world hunger. We clean on disease. We clean on life challenges. We clean on regimes that are cruel and harsh. And we clean on our own government.
Mm-hmm. One more last question. When you clean together with somebody, how does it work? Or does everyone go into their own private space and do it on their own, or do you do it as a group process?
We do it as a group project. In the room, we talk about an event. We gain a sense of our impressions and our feelings about that world event, and we begin with our mantras. And generally, since I'm the teacher in the group, I lead by speaking the mantra, and they just all internalize it. But together, we're a group of people around a table clearing and cleaning on the same impressions and feelings and removing them from our experience. And as we do, the experience on the outside becomes sweeter and more gentle. We just need more people to clean on the war in Afghanistan, and it will reach a point and it will break. Peace could be struck in a matter of minutes.
So this is, it is a spiritual practice. It's not something you could just do occasionally, of course, but it's something to develop a quality and strength to it. You want to do it as a practice. That's the sense I get. Is that
the
true?
Sense is that it should be done constantly, every moment that we could. In the world somewhere, there is rape. In the world somewhere, there is murder. In the world somewhere, there is struggle. There's always something to clean on. But I know one thing, when I get clean enough, everybody else in my world is clean too.
It's sort of like the Bodhisattva, vow. You can't attain fulfillment until everyone has attained that level of happiness, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well,
I think as a race of people, we deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly deserve it. We look at our animals. They exemplify the love that we should be able to share. It is without question, it is without reserve, and it is most forgiving. It is most understanding. That's what our goal is. And we will see it in our lifetimes.
Well, thank you for all the work you've done to help clean my reality, and for doing the work you're doing around the planet. It's truly, in some ways, selfless. Of course, it's your reality you're cleaning up, so it's not completely selfless. It's just, to make each of our experiences better and better, and you've outlined a beautiful way of doing that, and you're so earnest about it and so sincere and dedicated that it's really beautiful to hear you talk about this level of quality of consciousness that you're bringing to the planet. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I assume an architect, when they complete a project and build a magnificent building, they experience a sense of pride. This is something greater. I help my brothers and sisters all over the world 70s, my friend, it's a rush. It's awesome.
So tell people your website again and how to get in touch with you and maybe when you give your lectures as well.
Okay, website is not up yet, but that is returntozeropoint.com. It'll be up within a matter of weeks. They can reach me at Robert F. Ray, R-A-Y, at me, M-E, .com. I have endless space in my inbox, so please do not hesitate. I'll do my best to answer every single email and help every single person I can. And if I can't get it all done, I'll solicit help.
And then your book you've written just recently that's out right now is called what?
Return to Zero Point, and it's available on Lulu, L-U-L-U, .com. Return to Zero Point. And the new book will be coming out. I haven't named it yet, but that will be available through Hay House.
Okay, you could call it just Four Simple Statements That Change the World or something like that. You know.
Yeah. I'm playing with the tempo. I'm also depending on my guides to give me some input.
Yes, thank you. Are you in touch with other levels of? Do you get visitations? Do you get energies in some
yes,
of this work?
Yes, I do. I have constant communication with my guides. Sometimes I'm not too aware, and other times I'm real sharp and keen.
Well, it's been very inspiring talking to you, Robert. I really appreciate the contact, my friend Raquel, and Florida, who mentioned meet you to me, and all the things you're doing. It's really so simple, and it should be a sort of national anthem almost. That's what I get.
Well, I got to tell you, my friend, I have a funny feeling that this anthem is in the White House, and I believe our president uses it.
Beautiful. Well, maybe we'll talk about that sometime, why you think that.
That's quite a thought, huh?
Well, he is from Hawaii, isn't he? He was born in Hawaii.
Yes, he is. He's from Hawaii, and he's made a couple of revealing statements that kind of caused me to feel this way. It wouldn't be uncommon in the culture for him to know about it and perhaps use it.
Well, let's can only help everybody. Of course, he's one person, but in a powerful position. But if everyone, if somehow that leaked out, that's the kind of news people need to know.
I think so. I think it would do the nation a lot of good. It would do the movement a lot of good.
It would do the planet. Everybody.
The better the world gets.
Well, thank you again, Robert, for being on New Realities, Robert Ray, and the Ho'oponopono technique. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That's a big one. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you.
You aced it.
Thank you for being a guest, too.
I thank you so much for inviting me on, and I wish you the best of luck, my friend.
Okay, this recording will be available again on bbsradio.com, also on newrealities.com, and I'll send the link, and people can check my website, newrealities.com, to hear this again, because I'll hear it again, and just to kind of remind me of these key points. Like you say, you can't hear it enough. So, okay, thanks again, and I'll just say goodbye. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. One of the people I'd like to thank for the show is the Asheville Magazine and Veratu there, who is also one of the sponsors, and all the people at Bit by Bit that also sponsor this show, and the Meta Center I'm also doing events at. So if you have any questions about anything you've heard or would like to reach me, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and hoping all your realities are new and well and joyful and abundant. Thank you, and next time.